this generation. It sometimes seems that we're seeing a generation lost like no other before it. They are never satisfied with what they have, never taking a moment to appreciate the people around them. They're constantly wanting to be entertained. There is never enough money, toys, luxuries. Just when we think we have them figured out, just when we think we have a solution, there's something else they want. Some other problem that presents itself. And their lack of self-reliance and personal responsibility for their lives and their actions is like nothing the world has ever seen before. Or is it? It seems that whatever happens, whatever wrong is done in this generation, and I'm speaking of all of us, it's never our fault. Never do we act as if we care in the least. And if the events of this weekend, seeing kids and young adults and older folks everywhere in the news, having COVID exposure parties and games, going out without social distancing or masking, it's just a few examples of when our young people want something, even if it is detrimental to their lives and the lives of the family and friends, that they do not care for anything or anyone standing in their way of their wants. But is it just young people? Is this truly the most lost generation the world has ever known? Maybe not. This passage starts with restless, lost children calling each other to play and yet never quite satisfied with the response. Jesus tells this parable with a huge sense of asking, "What do you want from me?" William Gottler wrote about this passage. He says, "The passage begins with the children of the land whose song is never quite understood. When they played a glad song, no one danced. When the song became a dirge, no one was moved to tears. They were no better understood than John the Baptist, no better understood than Jesus." Yet, not only are the children in this passage upset that they're not understood by their playmates, they seem never satisfied with what they have, sitting and complaining, not seeking solutions, and never moving beyond their own territory to find common ground. They want to play, to live life fully, but can't seem to get past their own wants to reach out to their fellow human. As Jesus relates this story to the complaints about John the Baptist and the complaints about himself, all by the same people, seeming to never be satisfied, we can imagine these selfish yet wanting children. We can imagine them leaving unfulfilled, searching for something, yet never really knowing what they are searching for. Wanting all the world has to offer, yet sadly going away empty, since nothing they are offered or that they offer each other seems to meet with their satisfaction. So they continue to wander the marketplace, restless, seeking, weary, angry, afraid, bent on destruction, all because they cannot seem to find what is right in front of them. One of my children one time said she needed to take some time and she needed to leave and go away to find herself. I asked her if she'd looked in the mirror recently. this feeling lost and understood is what these children felt by the world and even by each other. So as I was reading in preparation for the sermon on the various opinions of our young people and what is going wrong, I came upon a few quotes from educators and philosophers. I wanted to share it with you. Here is what one of them had to say. What is happening to our young people? They disrespect their elders and they disobey their parents. They ignore the law. They riot in the streets, inflamed with wild notions. Their morals are decaying. What is to become of them? And here's another one from a famous philosopher. I see no hope for the future of our people if they are dependent upon the frivolous youth of today. For certainly all youth are reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be discreet and respectful of elders, but the present youth are exceedingly disrespectful and impatient of restraint. Powerful observation about today's youth. Oh, only the quotes aren't about today's youth. The quotes I just gave you were written over 2,000 years ago, before Jesus even offered this parable, Matthew, of the restless children. The first one is believed to have come from Plato, and the second from an even earlier philosopher, Hesiod, in the 8th century before Christ. Okay, Pastor, you say, we know the ancients were troubled, but truly this generation is more lost than previous ones. Truly, this generation is different than a couple of generations ago. So I continued my research. I think some of us are about to feel our age. Because as I continued my research to see what past philosophers from when we were young thought about their own and then young generation. Here is one written in prose from 1965. From a young man seemingly to simultaneously call out in the marketplace to his generation to give him what he wants and to chastise those for their lack of contentment and gratitude for all the world has to offer. This young poet says, when I'm watching my TV and the man comes on to tell me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me, I can't get no satisfaction. Yes, a young Mick Jagger had the world in his hands, yet was still seeking something bigger, just beyond his grasp. And in a time when within 60 years, that very generation would see the world move itself from horses and telegrams to instant communication and space voyage. The young people of the 1960s were still restless, not gaining any satisfaction. Okay, So maybe 1965 is still too early. Well, another young poet, Christopher George LaTorre Wallace, I want to get his name right, wrote just one generation ago in 1997 about the same problem with the young people of his day, speaking both to them and to himself when he wrote, "I don't know what they want from me. It's like more money we come across, the more problems we see." And shortly after writing and recording these lyrics, and before he could release what would become his biggest album, Mr. Wallace died in a hail of gunfire over, of all things, whether the East Coast or the West Coast had the best version of poetry and philosophy, also known as hip-hop and rap. Mr. Wallace, also known as Biggie Smalls or Notorious B.I.G. to us old school folks, coined the famous phrase, "Mo' money, mo' problems." This young man had every outward trapping of success and money and fame, women, power. Yet his last song tells us of a contradiction, a seeking, a longing for something other than the glamorous yet violent life he was living. So Jesus starts his parable with children asking each other, "What do you want from me? What do I want from you?" And just like Biggie Small, the children cry out, "I don't know what you want from me." That's the problem with human understanding and human relationships that are not rooted with an abiding fellowship with God. We think we have it all spelled out, what we expect, what we want. We think we understand each other, only to have the whole thing blow up in our face. The frustration we have with each other, the anger that develops over simple misunderstandings that grow within the dark corners of our minds, leaves us like the children in the marketplace, and we scream, "What do you want from me?" It is a phrase I often hear repeated in couples counseling, as a pleading spouse, wounded to the core, looks at their partner and pleads, "What do you want from me?" Always trying to do that one more thing to repair the relationship, willing to even compromise their very sense of self just to please their spouse. We want to be related. It's a phrase we often say as we seek deeper relationships, as if we could somehow fix each other's brokenness if we only knew what we ourselves wanted and could do. Jesus hears the people calling out, and he responds. See, Jesus knows that children will not be satisfied with what they have. They'll continually fight for what others have as well. "I can't get no satisfaction" is a continuous phrase. We might have a comfortable home, a loving family, yet we're willing to go deeper and deeper in debt for the next bigger house, willing to throw away all that we hold dear for a walk on the wild side. Another thing I hear often in counseling or in my reconciliation work is, "I deserve to be happy." And nearly every song you hear our young people listen to and that have listened to for generations has the same theme. What can I get that I don't have? We have an entire multi-billion-dollar industry devoted solely to convincing us that what we have is not enough. It's called the advertising industry. And as soon as something comes out and we get it, we soon find out that no one in polite society would have this thing because we now have to have the next thing. So the children ask, "What do you want from me? And what do I want from you?" But then Jesus turns it around and says, "Here's what you can expect, even amongst your restlessness. Here's what you can expect from me." You see, John came strict and stern, a powerful preacher. The people thought he was crazy. Jesus came friendly and open, always ready for the next cookout, crawfish boil, parade, as long as everyone was invited. And people complained He was too loose. We long for a prophet, a preacher, a savior. But we want them like the children in the marketplace on our terms. The people of Jesus' day wanted a warrior, someone who would put down the powerful Roman rule and free Israel in the literal sense. But Jesus came to free Israel and all of humanity for all of eternity. But not through the might of a sword, but the power of the transformation of the soul. We call on Jesus when we're cut off in traffic. When we want Jesus to intervene, when we feel we've been wronged by another. We pray for Jesus to get us that next promotion, that next raise, that winning lottery ticket. But do we pray for Jesus to transform us, to grant us peace? Do we want a Jesus that grants our three wishes and satisfies our material and emotional needs and then leaves us alone? Or do we want a Savior to transform our heart and soul? Jesus knew the generation of his day. Jesus knows the generation of this day and of all the days to come. He knows our humanness, our greed, our dissatisfaction with life, our restlessness. So Jesus prays. That was Jesus' response. Jesus begins to pray. He prays to God to give us the one thing that will still our restless hearts, that will satisfy our every longing. He prays that we can let it all go. The cares of this world, let it go. The burdens of expectations, let it go. The heaviness of worry and self-doubt, give them to Jesus. The weight of wanting more, give it over to God. The strain of living in our lifestyles and our worldly possessions, give them all to Jesus. The load that our heart bears when we want a Savior on our terms, surrender that to Jesus. The restlessness of always seeking something else, something more, something different. Surrender it all to Jesus, for he will take away our burdens and all our worry and all our cares, and he will give us rest. For what you seek, what we seek, what every generation seeks is right in front of us. What we seek is a life in purpose in Jesus. Just like the old hymn, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Can we? Can we give our fears of isolation? Can we give up what we expect of ourselves, what we expect from others, and even what we expect of a Savior built on our terms and conditions? Can we surrender all of that and take on Jesus? Can we give up being restless children and rest in Jesus? And know that he will give our souls all we need. Amen.